Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, everyone. Have you been to the Organic Gardener Podcast website and signed up for our email list? If you go there, you will get my new PDF, 7 Awesome Ways to Find More Time in Your Garden. And it's just some tips that I've learned from listening to my amazing guests who are always sharing with us super effective ways to be a better gardener. So if you head over to the organicgardenerpodcast.com and enter your email, you'll get 7 awesome ways to find more time in your garden. You can also get a copy of our ebook of Organic Gardening Basics. And just all the show notes are there, all the links to our show. And of course, you'll get a special invitation to join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook community. Hope to see you there. The Organic Gardener Podcast is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, gardeners, healthy eaters, strength trainers, and green future growers just like you get lower rates on their life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/OGP or mention the promo code OGP when you talk to a Health IQ agent to save up to 33% on your life insurance. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast today. I am just thrilled to introduce my featured guest because I found her on Amazon. I can't exactly remember why, but if you're a listener to my show, well, this probably won't post till after Christmas, so by then it might be a moot point, but I just got my first product out on Amazon, and I don't know, somehow her product came up, and I was like, this is so cool. I love it. It's just what I've been looking for a long time, and so she invented this thing called a seeding square. And so I'll let her tell you about it, but I'm so excited because she actually sent me a sample and I got it. And I know it's going to be the answer to one of the problems with gardening that plagues me. So her name is Jennifer Pratt and she's here to tell us about the seeding square from British Columbia, right? Canada?
Yep. That's me. Hi, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And congratulations on getting your book out on Amazon. That's a fantastic accomplishment.
Well, thanks. I know, I'm so excited. It's like crazy. Like last night I was calling my husband and I'm like, did the book come? And then I was like, wait, Amazon sent me a thing saying it was shipped. What do you mean? You don't have it? And he's like, so we had to go looking all over our neighborhood. They delivered it to the wrong house. And it's really fun to have an actual book. And I was so nervous because I thought part of the pictures were going to get cut off. And that was the biggest relief, was just to come home and see they were there. So thank you so much.
Oh, good. I'm happy to hear it all went well.
Yeah.
And I sales are fantastic for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, we'll see about that part. But tell listeners let's start out with a little bit about yourself. Like, I actually like to start the show asking listeners about, like, what was your very first gardening experience? You know, were you a kid? Were you an adult? Who were you with? What'd you grow? Like, did you grow up in British Columbia?
Actually, I grew up in Alberta, and my mom always had a vegetable garden when I was a kid. I have fond memories of raiding the garden. I was a big fan of the peas, the carrots, and the strawberries. That was my go-to. And she was highly supportive of that. And then just as an adult, I didn't have a garden. I've been very career focused, and just my husband and I decided a few years back that it was time to put in our own. So we kind of dug out a piece of the lawn and put in our own little garden. And we really didn't know what we were doing. We had a lot of fun. But in the end, all these little sprouts start coming up and, we didn't know what was a weed and what was not. And we had a good time, but we maybe didn't quite grow as many vegetables as we had initially hoped. So that was where that was kind of the start of our adventure of how seeding square came to be. But yeah, definitely do have the family gardening background, but I don't know if I was a helper so much as a garden raider.
Well, I love all of that. And I can tell listeners' heads are already going, this woman's got the answer to my prayers. I've had that problem before, and I've had that again. So Do you want to tell listeners, like, how does a seeding square work? Like, what is a seeding square? They're probably like, what's a seeding square?
What is this thing? Okay, so what happened is after our first year, we decided we would be a little more systematic going into year two. And we went into our local nursery and a hardware store, and we were just kind of looking for whatever tool there is to make planting and caring for a vegetable garden simple. And we couldn't find anything. There really isn't anything on the market to simplify the process of growing your own food in your backyard. So, which kind of boggled our minds a bit, but we went home and kind of did some hunting around on, you know, social media, just trying to see what different options were out there. And we came across square foot gardening and really liked the spacing system that square foot gardening has, based on X number of plants per square foot, depending on the size of the plant. But in our case, we didn't have a garden box. So with square foot gardening, you lay out sticks and strings into a grid formation, and then you poke X number of holes into each square for your seeds, your seedlings. So we liked the spacing concept, but we didn't have the setup to put in this whole grid setup that you need for square foot gardening. So we ended up making a bunch of square foot jigs, the spacing jigs essentially, and based off the square foot gardening spacing, and put in our garden and grew so much food. It was unbelievable. I don't know if the listeners with square foot gardening, it's high yield gardening. So you can get up to five times the yield because all your space is being optimized and utilized. And then one of the perks that comes from that is you don't get weeds. And we actually didn't even know that part. It wasn't until harvest that we were, you know, patting ourselves on the back. We couldn't believe how much food we'd gotten out of our garden. And my husband turns to me, says, "Oh, Jen, I'm sorry. I really dropped the ball this season on the weeding, and you have obviously been on it." And I turned to him and I said, "Oh, I was just going to say the same thing to you." So we both had kind of done maybe a 5-minute quickie weed at the beginning of the season while the plants were still small, because at that point there's lots of soil available for seeds for the different weeds. But once your plants get a little bigger, they crowd the weeds out, so you really don't get a lot of weeds. So, you know, in the end, it was this. Our jigs got this super high yield, and it was a really low maintenance garden because we didn't have the weeds, and we still, you know, we're new gardeners. We still, you know, we're not pros by any means. And, you know, we kind of kept having friends and neighbors looking over the fence and going, "Hey, what are you doing? Your garden looks amazing." And, that was another nice thing, is everything with planting with jigs, everything comes in nice, super straight, like laser beam straight, rows, so you can really tell when there are weeds, what is a weed and what isn't, because your plants are in perfect formation. So
I was gonna say that mm-hmm. because of the square, it shows you know where the weeds are growing, because you've got like this little grid type of thing to show you.
Exactly. Yeah, it makes weeding, it's a non-issue, really. Such little time is needed for it, and when you go to do it, the weeds that you have are so obvious, it takes no time at all to get the weeding. So that was a really nice little feature. And then our aha moment came. So we had all these different jigs, and, you know, friends and family kind of asking to borrow them and enjoying it. And then we had this aha moment where we stacked all the jigs together, because they're all, you know, 1 square foot, just flat. And we stacked them all together and looked at it and realized that none of the holes were overlapping each other. And we said, "Well, what if we were to color code this, we could combine all the jigs into one unit. And this is something that we could offer to the world." Because, I mean, really, growing food is something that everyone should be able to do, and it should be simple to do. So we thought maybe we had solved a problem that could help others that were in the same situation as us. So off we went.
Okay. So A jig is, what's a jig? Like a template or like,
yes,
is
it a made template. What's, sorry. Yeah, it's
is it paper or wood or metal or?
We had, my husband made some out of wood. So they were just probably quarter inch thick, and they were a foot by a foot. And so then once we kind of combined them all together, we started playing around with it. And so, okay, well, what extra features can we add to this to make it even more user-friendly? So we realized that if we put a bit of an edge to it when you press it into the soil and you poke your seeds and you pull it up, it leaves an impression behind. So you can line up your next press in your next. So it takes away the need for the stick and the strings, the grid that you would need for square foot gardening. You can get the spacing of square foot gardening without the need of the sticks and the strings. So that was great. And then we said, okay, well, trying to figure out the depth of the seeds. How do you know what to, you know, because everything you go to plant in the soil, okay, how deep does it need to be and how much space does it need? And so we made this little wand, and it has depth measurements on it. And so you use that to poke into the soil. And at the other end of it, there's a little spoon, because that was the other thing. So all the seeds were constantly kind of going places they shouldn't because they're so small. So this little scoop lets you easily get the seeds out of the package and then into the holes. And then we said, okay, well, the holes are maybe a little small for getting the seeds in. We need to improve that. So we have this little funnel that clicks into the unit too. So you can take the scoop the seeds using the wand, and you put them into the funnel into the holes. And we made it so user-friendly. It's actually in a lot of school boards now. There's a lot of kids using it, which is fantastic. We're over the moon about that.
Well, that's what I think one of my favorite features, because I hate planting carrot seeds and itty-bitty tiny seeds. Like, I've been on this big kick this winter. I made this like little mini arugula bed for my windowsill, and like, so then I'm like, well, I'm gonna plant a new couple of rows of arugula every 2 weeks, so I just constantly have fresh arugula all winter long. It is like the best, I swear. You pick out like six little itty bitty teeny leaves the size of my pinky, and they can make my soup like a totally different experience. I'm already running out of them in my little tiny bed. So I'm like, all right, if I plant them every 2 weeks, but those seeds are so tiny. I can't see them. I can't deal with them. And like, I think that's the coolest thing about your product. Because to me, small seeds are good for kids with tiny hands, but they're tough.
They are. It's true. Yeah. And we've also found too that seniors are really quite liking that feature too. Because the fine motor skills can be difficult as we age, and so being able to scoop the seeds and have the dexterity to get the seeds in the holes with the use of the scoop and the funnel is definitely a thumbs up from the seniors that have been using it.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be way better than one of those like little seed things that you get with a little spring and you push the button, because those things just have never worked for me. So yeah. I'm super excited for this. So what else can you tell listeners about it? Like, do you want to talk a little bit about the square foot gardening, like how that works together if they haven't heard of that?
Yeah, well, so yeah, square foot gardening, it's all Mel Bartholomew. He's a civil engineer. Unfortunately, he passed just shy of 2 years ago. He we came up with everything. It was all the premise of his spacing, and it's all, like I said, it's all high yield gardening. You're optimizing all your space and you're utilizing all your space, and so this is where we got our premise from. But in the process of, we did our crowdfunding to raise funds to be able to make the molds so we could make the product, and so obviously Mel was someone that we reached out to in our process of bringing Seeding Square to the world. And you know, so you leave a message, you leave an email, and you hope for the best. And you know, marketing is a process. But I was at the grocery store. Ironically, I was buying produce because it was winter, so I wasn't gardening. So I was buying produce, and my phone rang, and I picked it up, and says, "Oh, hi, this is Mel Bartholomew." And
oh no. Oh,
oh my goodness. I put my basket down right there and I walked right out the door. he needed to be able to focus on the conversation. And he loved it. He loved the concept that it was a tool that could bring his spacing and simplify the process. And we were actually kind of in talks as to how to integrate our tool with his process, and I was unfortunate that he passed before that came to fruition. But it is nice to know that he did give it his thumbs up, his seal of approval. So that meant a lot to us. So it's square foot gardening. It's been around for quite a while, and it really for those that working in a small space, like you, it really is incredible the amount of produce that you can get when you do high yield gardening. So it's Seeding Square gets the job done, as does square foot gardening. Just two different approaches to getting your seeds in, but it works great.
Well, and also, isn't a lot of what he talks about also like must have some companion planting mixed in with it? Like you're putting plants that grow well together and do well together and, you know, work together in the soil and outside of the soil, right?
Yeah. And we actually made on our website, we have, you know, obviously lots of pictures and videos and everything. You can see everything that Seeding Square is all about. But the Seeding Square itself comes with the color-coded planting guide, which you obviously need to be able to use the square, and then the instruction sheet. But if you go onto the website, we have PDFs where you can print off the instructions and companion or planting guide if they get wet or dirty out in the garden, as tends to happen. But we also have a companion planting guide chart. So it's a nice quick reference tool that users can take with them out into the garden, and they can just quickly see what plants are good beside each other and which ones aren't. And if they want to know the why of it, then by all means, sit down, Google it, figure out the details. But it gives us a nice quick reference tool for those that are in the garden planting their seeds and want to know what's good beside each other and what's not. So that was something else that we wanted to put on our website to make it just that much easier for gardeners when they're using the Seeding Square.
Yeah, and I think there's so much more to it because, like, you know, one of the other reasons I hate planting carrots and things like that is because then you have to go back and thin and you feel like you're wasting so many seeds. And I think it's going to save on that, right? It's going to space them out evenly.
Yeah, you bet.
And then people are always talking about, you know, start small. Your bed's getting overcrowded. And like you think always in the beginning of the year, I always think there's so much dirt showing. There's so much dirt showing. When is this ever going to grow? You know, maybe we should put some more stuff in here. Maybe this isn't working. We should put some more here. And then you end up with this giant overgrown, nothing can grow because everything's too squished together.
Yeah.
And I think that you see that this is going to help with that problem too.
Yeah, you bet. It really does end up as a jungle. And I mean, this is high yield gardening, so it everything does come in very compact. But square foot gardening, Mel Bartholomew, he did all his homework, and this is truly the spacing that the plants, they like it. This is the spacing that they truly thrive in. So, yeah.
No, and it works anywhere, right? It doesn't have to be just like, even though you're in British Columbia, like it'll still work down in Florida or Texas or somewhere, right?
Oh, completely. And I mean, you keep in mind too, different climates, plants are going to grow more or less. So, you know, this is planting a garden. It's not rocket science. So if you find that maybe in your area that plants are just, they grow really big, yeah, maybe you want to go one size up for on the Seeding Square, if that's what works better for your area. We suggest you use it as we've made it, but if you need to make adjustments, by all means, it's your garden.
Okay, so I was looking at some of your FAQs, and one of the things that I really liked was that you were talking about, will I get as many vegetables out of my garden if I use the Seeding Square? And you said, I like the way you said, in fact, you'll get 2 to 5 times the harvest as compared to traditional row gardening. And if you get more than you bargained for, share the wealth. I bet you have friends, family, and neighbors that would love to help you out with your own homegrown bounty. And I think people are going to love that part because, you know, when you are a new gardener, a lot of times things don't come up the way you think they're going to. So it's kind of like, you know, a better way, you know, you're just more likely to have a good crop this way. Mm-hmm. And then you can share.
Yeah, truly. It just simplifies it. It makes it, if I maybe would have called it gardening for dummies if that weren't something that would get me in trouble. Because it really just makes gardening, planting and caring for a vegetable garden simple for anyone, regardless of their age or experience level. And that's really what we were aiming to do when we put it out there.
So when you started out with these rigs, you had like one rig that was for like lettuce and one rig that was for carrots and one rig that was for beets or something. And then when you made the plastic model, you just like lined them up on top of each other. So they were all together in the one. And that's what the different color. I guess I've been like kind of trying to figure out the color and it's starting to come together now.
Okay, well, so how it works is, so we have four different spacings. So the orange hole, if you're looking at the square, you'll see there's only one orange hole. It's right in the middle. And that's for the larger plants. And so when you look on the guide, you'll see that the plants that you would plant in an orange hole would be the broccoli or Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, eggplant. There's a whole list. That would apply to the orange hole. Or if you were wanting to plant, say you are wanting to go with lettuce, you just look on the chart and you say, oh, okay, well, I see that lettuce is in the blue box. That means that I would poke and seed the blue holes. And so each press of the square, you're only planting one type of vegetable. That's one thing. I've had a few new gardeners along the way. They take the square and they say, oh, okay, so I will poke all the holes and I will seed all the holes in every single press. And
see, that's what I was thinking.
It ends up being plant warfare and none of them win because they don't have enough room. So each press of the square, you're only planting one type of vegetable. So you're only poking one of the colors, in each press. So, and you're working basically, they're like little mini square foot gardens. So you're doing a square foot of lettuce and then the next square foot, maybe you do another lettuce. Maybe you want to do a row of lettuce. Or you can do a patchwork approach where you do one square foot is lettuce and then the next one is carrots. And then the next one is peppers or, you know, as long as your companion planting chart check that as you go. But you can do a patchwork quilt and it works really well for rotation gardening too. So because obviously different plants have a quicker or slower maturation.
Yeah, see, that's what I was wondering about. I was like, yeah. Well, you put broccoli in the ground after other peppers are, you know, other plants are grown out. So now it's making sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can, you know, you might have, you know, carrots take a while, so they're going to call dibs on their square foot for, you know, for the 60 to 90 days that it takes them to do their thing versus, you know, the radishes or the lettuce, it's rapid fire. You put them in, you're pulling them out a couple few weeks later. So you can really, again, that even increases your yield more because as soon as you pull out a square foot, you can turn around and replant it with whatever your next thing on your list is. So it keeps all of your garden being productive all season long.
It's going to go great with my garden journal planner.
Oh, I know. The two of them are just perfect little companion products for each other.
Nice. I like that. Before we get to the root of things, let's take a minute to thank our sponsors and affiliate links. The Organic Gardener podcast is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, gardeners, healthy eaters, vegetarians, and green future growers just like you get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/OGP to support the show and see if you qualify. Over half of Health IQ customers save between 4 to 33% on their life insurance. These savings are exclusive to Health IQ customers because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, a 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, just like you, green future growers. Like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/OGP. OGP or mention the promo code OGP when you talk to a Health IQ agent. FreeGardenCourse.com. Mike and I have developed some lessons to help you create your very own organic oasis. We'll guide you through the steps to build your perfect natural landscape, an edible earth-friendly yard, a sustainable deep-bed garden, or even start a small profitable market farm. We'll show you how to save time, lower your produce bill, collect usable data, eat healthy, nutritious food with minimal labor, use the most effective and efficient production methods currently being used in backyard gardens as well as market farms, and maybe even help you find some profitable markets. We've designed it to save you time, lower your produce bill, and help you eat healthy, nutritious food. There's checklists, there's outside reading, video assignments. You can join the online Facebook community where there's lots of people from around the world to help you get your garden started today. So remember, freegardencourse.com. All right. Well, do you want to tell us like some of like just my general questions? Like, do you have a least favorite activity to do in the garden? Or is there something that you got to kind of force yourself to get out there and do now that you don't have to do much weeding?
Well, I'd say that was my biggest beef in the first year, was just that, just aggravated me because I couldn't tell what was a weed. Drove me nuts, because then I'm out there and I'm analyzing, oh, okay, well, is this a weed or a vegetable? And half the time I'd leave the weeds behind, half the time I'd be pulling out things that should be staying put. And it was, that was the most frustrating thing.
I so know that. And I get like nervous that I'm going to pull up.
Yeah.
Mike's prime. One year I dug up like all his echinaceas that he planted for me, which it didn't end up hurting them. We only lost like one, considering like I dug up this whole bed and he's like, you know, you dug up all your echinaceas that I planted you. And I was like, no.
No.
Yeah.
Ugh, and that's what happens. And it, I mean, even to gardening pros, I mean, you just, you know, they're all little green plants and they don't come with labels. So, you know, you do your best, but in the end, chances are things will get left behind that shouldn't be in your garden, and you're going to pull out things you shouldn't. So that was my number one beef. And I was super happy that we were able to get that figured out with our invention.
I love that. Well, what's your favorite activity to do in the garden then?
Oh, eating all the vegetables. I love pulling a fresh carrot, hosing it off, and just munching it right there in the garden. Nothing tastes better than something picked right then and there and eaten on the spot. Just or a nice warm, sun-warmed strawberry. That's the best. Or you know what? Even just being out there, just puttering in the garden, and you know, it's such a relaxing activity to do. It's, you know, I don't always get as much time with it as I'd like, because being a seasonal product during planting and gardening season, I'm selling seeding squares. But when I do get out to the garden, it's very much needed, because you know, I need that downtime from it all, and it's a nice place to just, you know, come back to Zen and just, you know, be one with the earth and the dirt and just enjoy the experience. It's really nice.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so since my audience is made up of a lot of entrepreneurial, you know, visionaries who might be thinking about having their own product someday, or maybe they've invented some super cool broad fork or some kind of special soil or something, or they want to, do you have any like business advice for somebody who's like, you know, like some marketing advice, since you talk about marketing? Or anything. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but like anything that you would advise somebody who's like going to come up with a new product or something?
I'd say prepare for a journey. It's not something that will happen overnight. We came up with this about 3.5 years ago, I want to say. And we started right off, we wanted to get it patented. And just this past week, we got our patent. So, it takes a while. Well, I mean, there's different processes and steps to patents, but to have my final finished 20-year utility patent in hand. It took 3.5 years to get there. So, you know, and then if you're wanting, and it, obviously depending on what you're inventing, in my case, it was something that was, it's a plastic tool. So I needed to have molds made. So that's, you know, everything costs money. So if you want to get onto your entrepreneurial side and really, you know, invent something and bring something to the world, I cheer you on. It is a phenomenal experience, but it's quite a learning curve, and it's going to cost some money. So just be sure to be ready for that aspect of it going into it. Not that you have to have everything off the hop. I mean, when I started, oh my goodness, when I started this process, I had a personal page on Facebook, and that was it. I had no other social media platforms. I had And basically I sat down and went, okay, I need to learn how to use these platforms. Now I need to learn how to market on these platforms and build a website. And we went crowdfunding. We did a crowdfunding round on Kickstarter and a crowdfunding round on Indiegogo. And, you know, just everything is, it's an experience. It's a learning. It's a step just to, you know, you take from every experience what you can and you move forward. It has been one educational experience from start to, well, not that I'm finished yet, but I'm still very much on my journey.
Love all of that. I'm like working on this book called Polish Your Shiny Pennies, because I always feel like, and especially my podcast is kind of a shiny penny. I mean, I really joined Podcasters Paradise thinking I was going to build my artist website and ended up with a garden podcast. But I think that, you know, people always, you know, think that if you don't have like 1,000 people on your email list or 100,000 YouTube followers, like, then it's not worth it. But to me, it's like, you don't really want all those people there in the beginning anyway, because you're going to make a bunch of mistakes. And it's all about the journey, like you said. And it's about, so you know, reaching those little milestones. Like when I got my first 100,000 downloads, I celebrated by going to Pierce. And that was like the best trip of my life. And it was more special because I was celebrating 100,000 downloads. And like now I just broke 400,000 downloads and I wasn't even looking the date. Like after like months of like looking to get to the first 100,000, it took me a whole year to get there. And then I broke 250,000 last New Year's. And then I hit 300,000 by June. And then this last 100,000 I got over the summer. And it was just like, I don't know, it just celebrating those different milestones is important. And, you know, mm-hmm. like you said, you know, be prepared for a journey, be prepared for, you know, all the different things. And I always laugh because they always talk about on the podcast that I listen to, they always talk about being an entrepreneur is like a roller coaster. And I'm like, have you ever tried teaching? Because being an entrepreneur is nothing like the roller coaster you get in a classroom every day. You never know where it's like, are the parents going to be upset today? Are the kids going to be upset today? Is the principal going to come in? Is it the admin? Are you following, you know, what standard are you teaching? Like, what standard are you meeting with this lesson? And like, are you, like I was saying, you know, my alarms go off because, you know, spelling's at 10:10 and grammar starts at 10:15. And if somebody has to go to the bathroom and you're not at spelling it, you know, you don't get to spelling till 10:12 or 10:13. Well, your whole schedule's off for the day. And
want
to talk about a roller coaster.
Oh, yes. I used to be a teacher myself. And
yeah, that's what you were
saying.
I
completely understand. Actually, you know what? When I, pre-Seeding Square, pre-Gardner, I remember it was in one of my city schools. But I was teaching a younger grade, and this little guy was teaching them about seeds and gardening, and he was adamant, no, you don't get carrots. They don't come from the ground. They come from the grocery store. Everybody knows that. And it was just kind of a, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. We need to have some further discussion then. So, yeah, you just never know when teaching where your day is going to go.
For sure. Yeah. All right. Well, then what's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
Do it. it is so good for you on so many levels. Like in our world of running around doing the headless chicken of just being on to this task and that task and getting this done and talking to that person and responding to this, we are exhausted. And like I was saying before, like just getting out into the garden is so calming, and it's good for stress, and it's good for anxiety, and it's good for just mental health, physical health. You get fresh food out of it in the end. Like, it just, nothing but good things come from gardening. And you know, it's not, well, we were kind of hesitant to getting into it because we didn't know what we were doing, but that's kind of what Seeding Square is, to help you get into it. So if you are new to it and you do have that kind of barrier to entrance and your barrier to entry rather, and you're not sure if you don't quite know what you're doing, you don't need to. All you need to do is just get out there and do it and try it, because it really is. It's just good for you on all levels. So I highly encourage people to garden. And even if you don't get the Seeding Square, do it anyway. It's just good for you.
I know. But what I like about the Seeding Square is it's going to raise your level of success.
Oh, yeah. Hands down. Yeah.
Okay. So besides the Seeding Square, that's going to be added to all of our favorite tools. Do you have another favorite tool that you like to use in the garden?
I'm all about just hands in there. I don't even wear gloves, and I always regret that afterwards when I look at my nails, but I like to be hands in the dirt. It's just personal preference, I guess.
Do you use raised beds?
I have a couple of cedar boxes that I had made so that we had to move from one home to another, and the new house didn't have a garden yet. So I have some cedar boxes that I use. And between the three, I have 14 square feet of space, which doesn't sound like much at all, but using the Seeding Square, I pull out a lot of food out of there. And I just have these three little boxes on my back deck, and it works really well. I back onto green space. So we tend to have a lot of, you know, four-legged and feathered friends come to visit. And for me, in my case, with that being the situation, having the garden boxes on the deck versus a garden in kind of just on the backyard there, it works better, because then I'm able to keep them coming into my family's mouth rather than all the little friends' mouths. But just a little bit of space, and it still gets done. We are intending on putting in a bigger garden this year, but even just for last year with the situation that we were in, just 14 square feet of space got the job done.
I love that. I'm always saying that. Like, if something happened to Mike and I had to start all over again, I always say I'd start with like one 4x10 bed and then one 3x5, like a little higher, like hip high.
Yeah.
Bed,
yeah.
And a patch of raspberries, like
if
that's just right, just like a small space that grows a lot of food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't need a big plot of space for a garden, and I think that's a lot of people have that misconception that to truly garden and get, you know, your money's worth and your energy's worth out of it, that you have to have a big garden, and you really don't. That's Mm-mm. not the case at all.
It's almost better to be smaller, because then you don't get the overwhelm, and you, like, come August when everything's going crazy, you're not like pulling your hair out trying to keep up with everything and then losing a lot, because that happens to me a lot. We lose a lot of produce, and we don't feel too bad because it goes to the compost or it goes to the chickens and stuff, or even sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, out of the yard. But yeah, so keeping yourself from growing too much stuff is a good thing. And there's nothing worse than wasting vegetables that you own.
That's where I say share the bounty. You will have neighbors that will appreciate nice, fresh garden veggies.
For sure.
Yeah.
How about, what's your favorite recipe to cook from the garden?
Oh, I like to do a vegetable stir fry. Mm. Just throw in some rice or some noodles and just kind of whatever I pulled out of the garden that day. It's a great way to do it. Or my stepdaughter is a big fan of, when we do the lettuce, we need to do a lot of romaine, because she's a big fan of the chicken Caesars. So we have a lot of those. keep it, yeah, just so like to keep it easy.
The problem I always have with romaine is we get those nasty, what are they called? The bugs that are, oh my gosh. Mike, what are the, oh, he went outside. Mm-hmm. But they kind of look like little miniature cockroaches. And they're just so gross. Earwigs. We get earwigs in our romaine. Do you have that problem? What do you do to keep the earwigs out?
I have found using the cedar boxes has really removed the amount of insects I have to deal with. But I like to use diatomaceous earth. Big fan of diatomaceous earth. And it really seems to, I mean, it doesn't keep all of them out, but it definitely deters a lot of insects. And if you get the food grade, it's actually very good for us as humans to take it. It's great for cleaning out the system. So, just get yourself a food grade bag of it. You can use it on your garden and in the kitchen.
Okay. Well, that makes it sound a lot less, I don't know, creepy, I guess. But I'm like, don't even bother planting romaine anymore because we just get those nasty bugs and they give me the willies. Like if they just come out of that plant, I think they are attracted to all the water because romaine take a lot of water.
Yeah, they do. I don't know. Oh, you know, one thing I didn't mention about seeding square planted garden is it actually uses a lot less water. It's when you water your plants, it all just gets taken into the roots because there isn't all that exposed soil. So you'll find that you don't have nearly the same amount of water consumption as you would from rural gardening. And, as you know, I'm not sure, obviously different areas have different water restrictions, but we find in the summer, we definitely end up getting water restrictions. So it's nice knowing that we don't need as much water to keep our garden happy.
Yeah. Well, Mike and I know all about that because when we first got married for the first 6 years, we didn't have running water. And so we would just have haul water. And so we've learned a lot about when your water is going right directly to the roots of the plants that you want to grow, you get a lot less weeds that way. And it's really good. And then also, you know, for sure, California was experiencing, you know, New Mexico, Arizona, they've been experiencing huge droughts. And so it'd be a good resource for people there. Okay. How about a favorite internet resource? Is there anywhere you like to go on the web?
Oh, I like to jump around on Pinterest a lot. And in marketing, I'm constantly every day discovering new sites and different approaches and this and that, and I'm becoming very educated. I wouldn't say I have a favorite in particular. I just there's some that I like how it's set up, but I'm partial to square foot gardening. That's the origins of where everything came from for me, but there is a lot of amazing information out there and a lot of people doing some very cool things. And the internet, open to the world. I love it. It's just, if you want to find something, it's there to be found.
So Mike hooked me up with this new website called Ecosia, E-C-O-S-I-A. And instead of going to Google, it's like my homepage. And then every time I do a web search, it plants some trees somehow. I don't know where he found it, but he said tons of people are using it. One thing I have noticed, I have to say, I definitely am getting an increase in advertising when I go to a website. There'll be more pop-up boxes right away first thing, or there'll be more advertising on the top of the space bar. But it seems worth it. It's always talking about planting trees, and it came highly recommended. So for a search bar, that Ecosia, it's E-C-O-S-I-A, but that was one thing I had to say. But do you have like a marketing website you want to recommend?
Oh, I would love to drop my URL. Thank you for that. Just www.seedingsquare.com, and that's seeding, S-E-E-D-I-N-G, not like a chair. So many people get lost there. So yeah, seedingsquare.com. And then we're also on different social media platforms. So we're on Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest and and Twitter and YouTube videos. So we try and like I said, I am a one-woman team. Obviously, I would like to have more out there, but I do what I can, and I post things as I come across them and like to share things and cross-reference. And I love it when people come on and share their experiences. I love when people send me their pictures so I can, you know, put them out there and share with others and kind of get the growing the Seeding Square community.
Awesome. Well, you should start a Seeding Square Facebook group.
I have, I guess I don't have a group. I have the page, yeah, the page, Seeding Square page. But yeah, no, that's a great idea. I might just go ahead and do that.
Okay. Well, I'll join when you get it going. How about a favorite reading material? Would that be that Square Foot Gardening book, or is there a different one?
Yeah, Square Foot Gardening book. That one was cover to cover and dog-eared all over the place.
Yeah, that's a great book. Mm-hmm. All right, ready for my final question?
Bring it on.
If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, Jennifer, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
You know, if everyone just kind of took it upon themselves to do a little bit on their own, if everyone just put in their own little small garden box and grew a few vegetables themselves, it would just take a lot of pressure off of the systems that are in place that are obviously not perfected and, you know, putting a drain on our planet. If everyone just kind of picked up a trowel and grew their own a few own veggies of their own, it really would alleviate a lot of the stress on the planet. Obviously, it's not solve the world's problems, but I think that would help. For a specific organization, I like kidsgardening.org. They're a nonprofit, and they obviously are about teaching children how to garden, and that's a big one I'm a fan of.
Well, awesome. I was going to say you're good enough with just the top part, but I'm glad I let you keep going because I'm going to check that out. I haven't heard of them. Well, not that you haven't already shared like a million inspirational tips, but do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
I'd say just try it. It is gardening. And we put a seed in the dirt and you water it, it's going to grow. You don't have to be perfect at it. And no one is. It's just give it a try. If you haven't done it before, give it a try. That's really all I can say to people. And it's an amazing experience and you get so much out of it. And I know getting into it can be a little daunting, but it's well worth it.
Awesome. All right. Well, do you just want to tell listeners one more time your website?
All right. You got it. So seedingsquare.com. Or if you want to join us, my biggest social media platform is Facebook. So it's at the Facebook, or sorry, my apologies, at the Seeding Square. And so I often actually do a lot of giveaways and lots of gardening tips and tricks and promotions. And if I see other sites that are doing gardening giveaways or whatever, I like to just use it as an educational platform for people that are wanting to do the gardening thing. And I like to throw in jokes and fun things in there and kind of home remedies and what have you. But I'd say the Facebook page and the Seeding Square page or Facebook, the Seeding Square website are probably the most broadcasted platforms that I'm on for sure. And I'm always, like I said, welcome and encouraging people to send pictures and send questions, because if you have a question, guaranteed, there's a whole bunch of other people out there with the exact same question that just haven't piped up about it. So you send your questions my way and I can post them out there, and you'll not only be helping yourself, but helping others at the same time.
Oh, I love that. Okay, and I'm going to recommend to listeners, when you get your seating square that I know you're going to want to order and you love it, go to Amazon and leave Jennifer a review, because that will help other people find it. And we know that, you know, it's just like, what's it called? Pay it forward, where you're getting helped and they're getting helped and everyone's getting helped. And nothing frustrates me more than like a new podcast comes out that's like the I've been waiting to listen to and their listeners haven't given them enough reviews, so I didn't find it. So I really encourage people to leave reviews when you find something you like.
Oh, indeed. Yes, I fully second that. Thank you, Jack.
Well, thank you. So, well, thanks for talking with us today and sharing your great product and being an innovative entrepreneur and a visionary and, you know, surprising us with your bold new product that I think is really going to change the way people garden, because not only is it helping people do the square foot garden, but it's just helping people in general be more productive. And that's a lot of key to gardening, is it's a lot of work. So anything that can help you get more bang for your buck is just phenomenal. So all right, well, you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and even though we are talking the day before Thanksgiving, there's a good chance this won't come out until after the holiday, after like Christmas, like the beginning of the spring and the new planting season. So I don't know, have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. You as well, my dear. And thank you very much for having me on the show. And again, congrats on your book on Amazon. I encourage everyone, go check it out.
If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening. And remember to grow.